Beacon Press Audio presents Demystifying Sharia, What It Is, How It Works, and Why It's Not Taking Over Our Country, by Sumbul Ali Karamali. This audiobook is narrated by Samara Naemi, published by Beacon Press Audio, 2019. Introduction. Upon completing the first draft of this book, which I had provisionally entitled Sharia in America, I realized that almost none of it had to do with Sharia in America. That's because there isn't any. Not taking over our country, anyway. I laughed, envisioning a book called Sharia in America filled with blank pages. Islam is difficult to write about in my country, that's the United States, because we are, none of us here, not even Muslim Americans, completely unconditioned by the negative stereotypes so normalized in our culture, educational system, news media, and entertainment industry. Any positive discussion of Islam is dismissed as propaganda. I often ruminate on how Muslims are perceived to be aliens from Star Trek's evil parallel universe, the Mirror Universe, where mass murder, despotism, and conquest are the norm, as opposed to the real, non-Muslim universe, which we rosily view as valuing peace and cooperation. Although it's not true that Muslims come from the Mirror Universe, in case you were wondering, so many loathsome misconceptions adhere to us that I cannot adequately explain Sharia without also unwinding stereotypes, eliminating presumptions, and providing historical background for current events. Human psychology periodically obstructs these explanations, because we all prefer comfortable information that bathes us in approbation and absolves us of transgression. I would love to believe that when my husband and I argue, it is always 100% his fault. No one likes acknowledging responsibility, but a discussion of Islam in the world today is not possible without explaining the colonialist role of European and American powers in Islamic history. In defending Islam against stereotypes and countering negativity with positive examples, never do I intend to give the erroneous impression that I'm declaring my religion to be better than another. Never is proselytizing my purpose. If spiritual and moral perfection, God, if you wish, resides at the top of a mountain, then I believe many paths lead there, meandering variously up the sides. As the Quran says, to me my religion, to you yours. Of course, I'm writing as a Muslim American and not, say, a Muslim Indonesian or Jordanian. As such, I'm as much a cultural product of my environment as anyone. A Christian Ugandan might practice a markedly different interpretation of Christianity than a Christian American. My culture and my diverse, wonderfully multicultural American environment, in which I am fed and clothed and housed, influences the interpretations of Islam I choose, but I am no less authentically Muslim for being American. This book is not a compendium of all the rules of Sharia on all subjects and in all countries, but an introduction to the principles, goals, and general development of Sharia, as well as the relevance of these topics today. I include the examples of Sharia in quotidian life, such as the Islamic view of same-sex relationships and what Muslims eat, to give you a sense of how Muslims engage with their religio-legal tradition. But these examples are illustrative rather than comprehensive. Understanding Islamophobia is also crucial to any discussion of Sharia because it birthed the Sharia panic. But Islamophobia is complex, and this book allows for only the merest summary. Because it affects us all, though, I urge you to read one of the excellent sources named in the suggested reading list on my website. One of my father's closest friends was Jewish. He read my first book on Islam, The Muslim Next Door, The Quran, The Media, and That Veil Thing, with tremendous interest, delighting particularly in the stories of my father as a new immigrant. When I despairingly felt as though I were chipping away with a teaspoon at a great granite wall of misconceptions about Islam and Muslims, he told me, "When I was a kid, they said that Jews drank the blood of Christian babies. You just have to keep fighting those stereotypes." This book is a defense against the stereotypes and, I hope, a relatable discussion of Sharia. The information herein isn't my personal opinion. It's academically reliable, based on established scholarship and facts. And defending against stereotypes doesn't mean I'm arguing that Muslims are perfect. We're just not the ogres of the modern world. It's always been easy to buy into vilification of minority groups. On the Starship Enterprise, after a Starfleet admiral persecutes an innocent person solely because he is fractionally Romulan, Captain Picard converses with his chastened security officer, who has finally realized that his wholehearted embrace of the admiral's tactics, shown to be bigotry and McCarthyism, was misplaced. "At least it's over," says Worf, shamefaced. "She, or someone like her, will always be with us," responds the captain grimly, "waiting for the right climate in which to flourish, spreading fear in the name of righteousness. Vigilance, Mr. Worf. That is the price we have to continually pay." Let us be vigilant, learning about Islam as Muslims understand it, not as the anti-Muslim propagandists deform and twist it, will deflate the sails of those spreading fear and open new avenues for intercultural and interreligious understanding. That's what Captain Picard was fighting for. The evaluation of everyone for their integrity, not their religion or ethnicity or cultural background. Thank you for being on board. Part 1. The Basics and Foundations of Sharia. Chapter 1. Sharia in a Nutshell. Nearly a decade ago, attending my Stanford reunion, I stood self-consciously but optimistically in the campus bookstore beside a table piled high with copies of my book, alongside other alumni authors, when a white-haired, blue-eyed couple sporting badges labeled 50th Reunion approached me to say politely, "You look like someone we could talk to. We're very much afraid that Sharia law is taking over the United States." Momentarily speechless, I struggled to address a statement that was problematic on multiple levels. Why assume that most Muslims were not people they could talk to? Was it such a surprise to see a professionally dressed Muslim woman with a nice haircut? And where did they see Sharia law taking over the United States? Could they see it, define it? Ruthlessly suppressing these questions, I settled for assuring them that the First Amendment of the Constitution prevented any religious law from taking over our country. Not to mention, I added brightly, the Supreme Court and Congress. I smiled engagingly. Their brows remained furrowed, their eyes troubled. "But Rush Limbaugh said it could," they said simply. They left without buying a book. Sharia hysteria has only worsened in the intervening years. Prior to the publication of my first book, the term Sharia, or the simplified Sharia, was known in some circles but absent from the American layperson's vocabulary. In the intervening 10 years, though, the terms Sharia and the Western construct Sharia law have acquired monstrous meanings in the West, virally infecting media and internet. You might reasonably assume that the reason for the fear comes from groups like the Taliban and ISIS, who claim to apply Sharia. It's certainly easy to point to these criminals when making the argument that Sharia is fearsome. But vilification of Sharia began long before the birth of these groups. Hundreds of years ago, and even earlier, depending on how you look at it. Besides, using religion to justify violence is not unique to Islam. Groups around the world commit crimes and justify them with religion. This is nothing new. The current American-European defamation of Sharia is the result of another factor, a thriving, intentional disinformation campaign, discussed later in this book, which in the last decade has sought to spread fear of Sharia as a predatory, backward, draconian legal system that Muslims strive to impose on Muslims and hapless non-Muslims alike. This is ironic, because as Harvard law professor Noah Feldman writes, "For most of its history, Islamic law, Sharia, offered the most liberal and humane legal principles available anywhere in the world." I know that may be difficult to believe for anyone following the American public discourse, but it's true. The Islamic legal system, based on Sharia, was a remarkable achievement. Otherwise, it couldn't have succeeded as spectacularly as it did for over 1,000 years. It counts as one of the world's 3 major legal systems, defined as widely influential legal systems that grew past their original birthplaces.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?